Hey, this is John Lee Dumas of the award-winning podcast, Entrepreneurs on Fire, and you're listening to the Excelsior Journeys with George Soroy. Prepare to ignite.
So would you say that that's kind of like the lightning bolt moment for
you? And that's
why
I taught myself how to draw, was actually the Little Mermaid, drawing stills of Ariel.
I've got better things to do tonight than die.
Sylvester jumped out of his chair and said, who the F is this?
I remember walking out of the theater with him saying, I'm going to write Halloween.
I'm rather impressed with your research. Rarely do people ask me about Children in the Corn.
It doesn't have to be perfect. Just do it. You know, throw some spaghetti against a wall. See if it sticks.
This is George Soroy saying to all of you, ever upward.
Welcome back to Excelsior Journeys, the road to creativity, part of the Podmatch Podcast Network. This is George Soroy, and thank you so much for being here. And thank you very much for being here for the season 12 finale. I cannot believe how long this show has been going, and I am proud to say we're not stopping anytime soon. I always keep saying the royal we, but at the same time, it's like I know I'm the only one behind this show, but I'm not stopping anytime soon. So if you will continue on this journey with me, then I will do my best to make sure that this is worthwhile. One thing that I truly love about the creative community is seeing those creatives that are finding success in their field, whether it's writing, whether it's filmmaking, music making, stand-up comedy, voice acting, whatever it is. And they're finding their success, but then immediately turning around and helping those that are coming up behind them. And that is a perfect microcosm of what Laura Frost is doing right now, because as an award-winning author herself, she is also a regular in judging various fiction competitions, and she is doing her part to put the spotlight on those that are getting to that level, that are able to break through and get their work in a position where it can succeed. Laura has been watching over so many different people. She has been critiquing people. She has been assisting, suggesting, and judging in various competitions. And it's been great to see what she can do in terms of getting that next generation of authors ready for what's to come. And so that definitely deserves a real spotlight and a lot of recognition here. So it is a perfect fit for the season 12 finale that my guest this week is author Laura Frost. Laura, how are you?
I'm great. Thank you. And thanks so much for having me on. It's so great to be here.
And I do have to say, this is another win from Podmatch. For those of you who have a podcast and you are looking for guests, you definitely want to get on podmatch.com and see what is out there in terms of guests, in terms of other people that you feel that you would work well with, other podcasters. And it sets you up for such success. I've been a user of this platform for quite a few years now, and it's been nothing but positives to me. And especially having Laura here, that's another win for me, for Podmatch, for everyone.
Thank you so much. You have such a lovely introduction. I'm just honored to be here. I really enjoy your show. So thank you for having me.
And thank you for being here. So I'm really excited to hear more about what you're doing in terms of judging various competitions. So tell us a little bit about these competitions that are out there. And for a lot of people that are thinking like, oh, I just want to get my work out there, I don't really care about awards, there is something about having that additional recognition, about having that sort of validation for your work. I'm saying this as someone who has a few screenwriting awards that are in my office out just outside of my studio here. So what is it about these competitions that make them so valuable for writers to really figure out where they're going in their careers?
Like you said, validation is really nice, as much as it's great to just enjoy the writing process and connecting with readers. Getting a shout out every now and then definitely helps, especially when imposter syndrome is creeping in. So right now I'm actually in the middle of one of the writing battle competitions. Writingbattle.com is fantastic. They have contests going number of times through the year, different genres, different short story lengths. And I'm so grateful that I've been asked to be an industry judge with them. And There's so many amazing writers out there, and for me to be able to read their work, and it's inspiring, and I'm learning a lot about the writing craft just by reading other writers' work and then giving feedback to help them tweak it even more, to help them grow and get to that next level.
Do you feel that as you're doing this, you're catching yourself almost thinking that, oh, I need to take my own advice on this?
Absolutely. I'll start commenting on a story. I'm like, okay, the pacing in this section didn't quite sit right, or the character work here is fantastic. And then it makes me reflect on my own work. And, oh, you know what? Maybe I can apply what I'm saying right now to my own stuff and improve my own pieces, whether it's novel writing or short story writing.
And so with that in mind, focusing on your own writing, I always love to hear about what I call the road to creativity. And that's that time in your life when you're going in one direction, but then all of a sudden you suddenly experience something or read someone, meet someone, and it's just, ooh, I want to do that instead. So all of a sudden you're taking the off ramp and you're emerging in with traffic and you're on a whole other highway, if you will. And so what was it about writing that made you want to get into that anyway?
So it might be a little cliche, but I like to say that writing found me rather than me finding writing. I've always enjoyed writing ever since I was a kid, and I figured it would be fun to write a novel one day, but I never knew what I would write about. I didn't have any ideas about genre or even what age would I write, a kid's book or an adult book. So I just played around with short stories and poetry mostly. But about 10 years ago, my husband used to be involved with law enforcement. He was a police officer, and he was involved in an incident one day that was potentially life-threatening. Everything turned out okay. Everybody came home safe. But even though I knew his career had risks, it's not until it really hits home that it hits home. And so for a way for me to deal with the what ifs of what if he didn't come home that day? What if he doesn't come home after his next shift? My mind started creating this fictional character, and I didn't set out planning to do this. It just, she blossomed in my mind, a woman very similar to me whose husband did not make it home, and the choices she had to make about the next step in her life, where she would live. Would she move back home to where her friends and family were? Would she stay in her current community where her kids had friends? And how would her relationships change over time? And so this woman's story kept building in my head, and she was becoming all-consuming. And I got to the point where I'm like, you know what? I need to get her out of my brain because it's taking over. I'm not sleeping. I'm not fully engaged with my kids. So I sat down and I wrote her story. And once I started writing, everything came out, and I wrote as much as I could, any moment I had. And for 5 months I wrote. And by the end of it, I had released a lot that was inside of me. I felt lighter and more confident. It was 228,000 words, but it was so inspirational and so therapeutic. And I fell in love with writing in a way I never had before. So that big story still sits on my laptop. If I'm going to do something with it one day, it needs a lot of work. But in the meantime, while I was writing that, I was hit by inspiration to write my next novel, which is my debut, Seeking Sasha. So as soon as I finished my first draft of that big behemoth therapeutic book, I jumped into writing Seeking Sasha, and I've been writing ever since. I love the craft. I love the feeling of writing. I love connecting with readers. And so that's how writing found me.
And as you were starting to kind of get yourself more, I would say, involved in it, what was your feeling like it? Were you starting to feel just like, oh, this is what I need to be doing all along?
In many ways, yes. Originally, I was writing 100% for myself. But once I finished my first novel and then Seeking Sasha, I'm like, you know what? I'm going to start sharing this just with a few people and see what they think. So I shared it with my cousin, with my husband, and they both came back to me and they're like, this is something that you need to share with a lot of people. It's really fantastic. You've got something here. And so that was a spark for, okay, let's take the next step and see how I can get this out to the readers, get it published. And the more I worked on learning the industry and honing my writing skills and writing more short stories and working on another novel, the more I realized, yes, this is something that I've had inside of me all along. There is a reason why through my entire childhood and into adulthood, I've always been tinkering with poetry and short stories. Mm-hmm. I journaled a ton my entire life, and it's always been inside of me. It just took this situation to fully bring it out.
Yeah. Wow. Wow. And it's amazing what can be the catalyst for going in a completely different direction the way you did. And mm-hmm. and as you're doing it, you're getting more and more into it. You're getting really excited, I would say, about the process, correct?
I for sure am. And originally I did need to learn a little bit more about the craft. I had this first draft that had a really great foundation, but now mm-hmm. I went to conferences and took writing classes, and it's okay. How do I tweak things? How do I hone things? What do I need to cut? What do I need to expand mm-hmm. on? How do I need to dive deeper into characters? And the more I learned, the more I just loved it more and more.
Yeah. Oh, that's great. That's great. And then what was it that finally made you decide that it's time to start getting your writing out there into the world?
I think that conversation with both my cousin and my husband, they were so excited about my work that mm-hmm. I thought, okay, let's do it. And I'm quite a stubborn person. So when I put my mind to something, that's it. There's no turning back. It might take a different road than I originally planned, mm-hmm. but I'm going to reach that end goal. And so once I decided I want to share this with other people and I want to get it published, then I figured out how to get that done. And again, imposter syndrome and self-doubt can trickle in, especially when mm-hmm. the rejections start rolling in. I'm like, okay, maybe this isn't quite what I thought it was. But I had some other beta readers who kept coming back to me. They're like, we need to share this with people. We have friends who want to read this. You got to keep going. So yep. I did. I kept going. That stubbornness kept pushing me forward. And now here I am with this book out in the world. And readers from all over the globe are finding it and sending me messages about how much they love it. And so it's really been a fun journey.
Oh, that's got to feel amazing too. Just yeah. Once you get it out there, because you just said it yourself, like with imposter syndrome, there are so many of us that yeah. have that, because we all feel that it is one of the most vulnerable things you could possibly do, because you can't spend dollar upon dollar on plane tickets to lean over people's shoulders and say, what I really meant to say was this. You have your own, it's your writing, it's your book, it's your story, but it's open to interpretation to everyone. Everyone reads mm-hmm. things differently. And to hear that you've been able to get something out there that's connected with so many people, that's a, talk about a win right there.
Oh, thank you.
That's something that's great. That needs to be celebrated.
Thank you so much. And you are absolutely correct when you say that everybody brings their own perspective to whether it's a novel or a piece of music or whatever it is. Because yeah, you can put something out there and the way that somebody else reads it and their own reflection on it could be vastly mm-hmm. different than what you expected. And I've had readers come back to me with all sorts of background stories. Did this happen in their background? I'm like, I never thought of it that way, but that's actually brilliant.
Yeah.
So it's really interesting to get feedback, the positive feedback, but also the feedback that you don't quite expect.
And so getting that sort of feedback, knowing that you got something there, knowing that you have potential to make a name for yourself in this wonderful world of writing and publishing, then all of a sudden you find out that you're starting to get recognition for it. What was that feeling like?
Pretty incredible. It was in the span of 2 days, I found out I won 2 awards for Seeking Sasha, the Literary Titan Award and International Impact Book Award. And it was like, I received the first one. I'm like, that's pretty incredible. I was on cloud 9. And then the next mm-hmm. day I found out I got another one. I'm like, what is happening?
That's a feeling.
Pretty fun. I'm going to the awards gala in Phoenix for International Impact Book Awards in July, and I'm so excited just to connect with all sorts of writers and industry professionals and just to soak it all in, because it's a pretty neat thing that's happening.
Yeah. And as someone who had always yearned for that sort of recognition from my own writing, I just recently got to experience that myself in back in 2023, one of the someone I know who is the producer for an audio drama that I put together. She let me know that a film festival that she was chairing needed short screenplay entries, and I had 2 weeks to get it done. And so I had to put together a screenplay that was no longer than 11 pages. I remember that. And wow. Yeah. And my latest draft was 17 pages. So I had to really pare it down a bit, but it wound up taking honorable mention in that festival. And it was just like, ooh, I want more of that. And yeah. So I just kept on. It turns out for any screenwriters or filmmakers out there, I really hope that you're on filmfreeway.com, because that will be your best friend when it comes to getting your work out there and recognized. Because last year in 2025, I got my very first award for any of my writing. And it's one of those things where just everyone was just like, oh, I do this for the love of writing, not for the awards, not for the recognition. I'm sorry, I have to call BS on that, because we all love that recognition. We all love knowing that we are on the right path to what we're doing. And that's what this was. That's what this was for me. And that's what it continues to be as I wrote my second one. And that's gotten a lot more recognition. So it's one of those things where just you got to see what you can do. Thank you. Yeah, it was very wild. And I actually just got this morning, an email from a different film festival that I had already won an award from the year before. And they're talking about me being on a jury. And I was like, wait, what? So that leads me to ask you, because you're much more experienced at this part of it than I am, because now all of a sudden you're asked to be a judge in these things. And so what was that experience like?
It came out of the blue, actually. I just received an email one day from Writing Battle, and they're like, hey, we see what you're doing out there, and we're looking for a few more judges, and we'd love to have you on the panel. And so I dove into their website a little bit, and I thought, yeah, absolutely. This sounds like a great way to give back to the community, read some fantastic writing to improve my own writing skills. And so, yeah, that was a couple of years ago. I judged my first contest with them, and they've invited me back a number of times. And this one that I'm currently judging, I'm an industry judge on it. So that's pretty fun. It involves a little bit more feedback from some of the previous contests I've done with them. So I'm just so honored and grateful that they reached out and they saw something in me and wanted me on board. And it's been a really great experience so far.
Oh, that's so cool. I experienced that one other time, actually, because I was asked to be a judge during the time that I was a president of, had just finished up my term as president of the Missouri Writers Guild, I was asked to participate as a judge in a short story competition. And that was a thrill to be able to do that, to provide my two cents on that. I got to pick the winners on that. And that was mind-blowing to be given that sort of, I don't want to say power, but that sort of authority. If I'm recognized as an authority figure, then I got to back it up. So with everything that you've been doing, everything you've been experiencing, everything you've been recognized for, where do you see indie writing go from here?
Oh, I've had so many readers message me and beg me for a sequel for Seeking Sasha. So the story is, the end of Seeking Sasha is finished. It comes to a conclusion, but there's more that could be done with the characters, and my readers want to see where the characters are going to go from here. I had ideas of doing something else, but I've shelved that for now because I figured, you know what? If the readers are asking for a sequel, then maybe I'll get them a sequel. So I'm currently in the middle of revisions for Seeking Sasha's sequel. I'm going to try to write it, if I can, as a standalone, so anybody can pick it up and not be lost. Mm-hmm. But of course, tying back into the original book as well. So
you're going to do add like a little bit about who they are and where, just sprinkle in a few facts about what happened in the previous book.
Yeah. I don't really want to have a foreword to catch people up. I'd rather just work the information into the story as it goes. Yeah. So we'll see how that works. I need to find a beta reader who's not read Seeking Sasha.
Nice.
To read it.
That's a good way to do it. That's a good way to do it. And I just think of the 1996 film, The Phantom, because it was a property that was in pulp comics and has a long history, like about 70 years or whatever, before it finally made its way to the big screen. But the way that it starts with maybe like about a 45 to a minute long breakdown of the character himself, the original Phantom. But it starts off with a great title card and just says, "For those who came in late."
I like that.
Yeah. I was just like, that's awesome. That's so perfect because it had a history in the serial world when there were movie serials before television. You needed that something to give that just a little bit of a background before you get people involved. And with that in mind, I mean, in terms of serials, I know that there have been some attempts. I think Kindle had their own serial set up and everything going for a while, but I think they got rid of that. After a while, do you see that happening, smaller increments becoming something that would get people's attention more before it gets published?
I haven't even thought about that. Yeah. I'm a big fan of I'm actually very secretive about what I'm working on. Even my husband, I won't tell him anything. He'll know the general idea of a novel I'm working on, but that's it.
Yeah.
And I don't look for feedback from anybody until I've done my first draft, and once it's all solidified in my head and on my computer, then I'm like, okay, now I can put this out a little bit. And then I like to, once I've had it beta read and edited and everything, just throw the whole thing out in the world.
Oh, nice. And that's a good way to do it. Yeah. There's definitely something to be said for giving tiny little tidbits along the way and then hitting them hard with the big thing.
Yeah.
So with everything that you've been doing, when you see someone who is looking to get into writing, they've done a little bit of the work, they're figuring out that they really do love it, they really do want to go forward with it, and they put some work into it. But they're looking for some sort of tip on where to go next. What sort of tip would you have for them?
I would tell them what I was told when I was asking the same questions many years ago, and that is connect with other writers. So find your writing community, whether it's online, which online has some incredible writing communities. I was blown away by the amazing people I've met online. Libraries have great writing communities. Attend conferences if possible. Mm-hmm. There's so many great connections to be made. And you learn so much in just a few days. And there's even some online conferences, which nothing's like an in-person one. But if you can't do that, some online ones are fantastic as well. And then also submitting short stories. I've learned a lot about the writing craft, and I've made a lot of connections. I've done a lot of networking through my short stories. Even though my passion is for novel writing, there's so much value in the short stories. And just getting them out there, learning about myself, learning about what is good about my work, what could use some work about my work, and just making those connections and building an author CV, if you will, as well. So if you do start querying your novel or whatever you're working on, then you have something. Say, you know what, I've been published in this magazine and this journal and so on. So it just helps build your credibility.
Absolutely. And yeah, I love that, an author CV. And where can my listeners find you on social media?
I am all over the place on social media. I'm on X and Blue Sky, Threads, Instagram, Facebook. My handle is usually at lfrostwrites, but if you just go to my website, laurafrostwrites.com, all of my links to all of my socials are at the bottom of every page. And I also have a newsletter sign up. So for some insider, the scoop on what's coming and all that, so my subscribers get some information that not the rest of the world gets. So it's fun that way. So yeah, just head to my website, laurafrostwrites.com.
Laurafrostwrites.com. That is for sure. Mm-hmm. Laura Frost is definitely writing. She is judging. She is getting the accolades that she deserves, and she is still going strong. And I'm thrilled for Laura. This is an exciting time for authors everywhere, for storytellers everywhere. The technology has become much more accessible. And despite the toxic landmines that are AI, we have a whole lot of original voices that are out there, human voices that are ready to be heard, that are ready to be discovered. And with people like Laura that are giving them the pats on the back that they need and that we all need much more often than we would admit, then we continue to support each other. We continue to push each other in this community, in any community, really. As solitary as writing can be, it doesn't always have to be. We need each other. We need each other to grow. We need each other to be our cheerleaders, our supporters, our encouragement, our feedback, our critiques, to let us know what we're doing right, what we're doing wrong, all of that. That is something that is truly important in any creative field. So I hope that whatever field you're in, you are applying yourself by getting yourself involved with as many communities as possible, because when we're working together, when we're pushing each other, there really is nothing that we can't do. And I hope that you have enjoyed these past 12 seasons of Excelsior Journeys, The Road to Creativity. And I'm so excited for what will be coming in the future, because in these crazy times, we need your stories, your ideas, your vision now more than ever. So for Laura Frost, this is George Soroy saying to all of you, ever upward, and I will see you for season 13. Thank you very much for listening to this episode of Excelsior Journeys. I hope it was both inspiring and entertaining. Special thanks to Zach Comtois for providing new music for the intro and outro. Please take a moment to leave a rate and review on Apple Podcasts. And if you enjoy the show, please share it with your friends and subscribe to your platform of choice by going to he'sgotit.com/podcasts. While there, you can also fill out the application to be a guest, inquire about sponsorship opportunities, and click on the Buy Me a Coffee link if you wish to give your support to the show. All interaction is very much appreciated. If you have a question, comment, or suggestion for the show, please direct it to george@hesgotit.com.